to Side.
Spend the day with Side.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sairam, dear listeners, till now you have heard the live segment Afternoon Satsang by Brothers Prem and Arvind. It's now time for us to go to the next segment of this Thursday Live, that is the Radio Sai Veda Jignasa program. And to take you across this program is myself, Ganesh from Team Radio Sai, and along with me is Brother Bhargav, Sairam Bhargav.
Sairam Ganesh.
So at the outset, we would like to collectively offer our humble prayers and salutations at Bhagwan's Divine Lotus Feet, and with a humble prayer that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration, we shall commence today's class with the Ganapati Prarthana Mantram.
Om Ganana Antva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavim Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvan Noti Vissidha Sadhanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vajevir Vajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
So Bhargav, before we enter into today's episode, we have a very beautiful request by a couple of our listeners who have raised two very pertinent questions.
Okay.
So we shall submit those questions in front of all our listeners. The first question: today I heard as usual the Veda Jignasa program. I feel it would be better if we elaborate the probable intentions of chanting different Vedas on different days, and also probable benefits of chanting each and every mantra.
Yeah.
So this is one of the questions. And the second question: regarding intonation in Veda chanting, according to the Sanskrit Hindi dictionary by Sri Vaman Shivaram Apte, Swarita is the Swara between Udatta and Anudatta. Then why should it have a small vertical line over it, while Udatta should have it? But in the case, Dirgha Swarita should be called Dirgha Udatta. What is this dichotomy? And thank you, listeners, for sending in these two questions, very pertinent questions. So to answer the first question, that is, what is the reason for chanting different Vedic mantras on those particular days of a given week? So for that, as we were trying to, if the question is related to the chantings that are being done in Mandir, this was as per Bhagwan's instruction.
Yeah.
In the formative days, we had taken a schedule according to our own knowledge. Whatever we knew the mantras, we had made it into a schedule which we could follow. Because before Swami, when we were chanting, we should be very clear about the sequence of the mantras that we are chanting.
Yeah.
The first three mantras, that is the Namakam, Chamakam and the Purusha Suktam, as guided by Swami, were the compulsory mantras every session. But the rest of the 15 minutes that is left over in the 1 hour,
in the morning, okay.
Yes, that we had to divide into various mantras. So keeping in mind the different deities, we had tried to adjust all these mantras in the different days of the week.
7 days of week, okay.
So that is the reason for chanting the various mantras in the Mandir.
So I understand, because if you see, we chant Surya Namaskar Mantrams and Surya Upanishad on Sunday because it is Surya. And I think Namasomaya Ghanam, it's again Shiva, we chant on Monday. And then if you go to our Sri Suktam on Friday. So probably that's what was the idea to make.
And on Wednesday, Ganesha is being worshipped.
And Ganesh Suktam on Wednesday and Ganapati Sarsisham on Thursday. Correct.
So to this is the basic idea. So to answer the next second half of the first question, that is, what are the probable benefits of chanting each mantra? I think when we were dealing with Ganapati Adharva Sirsham and the Narayana Suktam too, we had dealt with these questions. Because in the Ganapati Adharva Sirsham, the Phalashruti that Etatatharva Sirsham Yodhite Sabrahma Bhoyaya Kalpate, we dealt with in detail. Maybe the listener can refer to the previous episodes of the Veda Jignyasa.
And not only that, I think our humble endeavor is whenever we take up any mantra, we try to understand and try to even probe little more deeper and get some benefits what we understand. And even the listeners, if they feel that, yeah, these are the things which according to them, or they have read or they have heard from someone, are the benefits, they can also share with us. We will put this forward to all the listeners.
Actually, there are two aspects, Bhargav. It's a very pertinent question because not only the physical or the mundane aspects of each of those worldly aspects of the mantra which benefits each of the chanters, but it is also the inner significance, the spiritual wealth that is embedded in each one of those mantras. Because as Swami tells us, once we start understanding the essence of the Vedas, we start understanding God more and more better.
Yes.
So as we progressed day by day from the Ganapati Adharva Sirsham to the Medha Suktam, there was a lot of
learning
that has taken place.
Yeah.
And we get to understand different facets of God, different facets of Swami also.
Not only that, we get more and more humbled that we are nothing in front of the ocean of knowledge, which we just trying to just take a small sip out of it. That's all, nothing more than that.
So every word we pick, it is something very new for us.
Yes.
So, the learning continues and it is unending.
Yeah, and we want all of us to be together in this learning.
Exactly. And the respected listener who has posed the second question about the intonation, I think we would be in a better position to answer this in the next episode.
Yeah, we'll try
because
to
we
find
need
out
to do some sort of research
on this
and find out what exactly this person is pointing out to. So we would go and refer back to Sri Vaman Shivaram Apte, the Sanskrit Hindi dictionary, and then get back to him in the next episode.
Yeah, but just to state what we know, like as just to tell everyone, is that according to us, what we have learned, Anudata is something which has a downward intonation. Udata is plain, and Swarita is the you just give that one higher note, and Dirgha Swarita is you give it
double intonation.
You just drag it a little more. So that's what we know. But probably there might be another notation, another way of nomenclature naming these four aspects of the intonations or swaras of Vedas. We will try to find out and get back to them.
So I think keeping all these aside, now we try to go deeper into one more very important aspect, that is the next step. So the blossoming of the intellect was the previous journey that we had undertaken in the Veda Jignasa. And now having got that buddhi that Swami talks of rather than the intellect. So what is it that we do with the buddhi? The last closing sentence of the Medha Suktam was Hamsa Hamsaya Vidmahe Parama Hamsaya Dhimahi Tanno Hamsa Prachodayat. The swan, the divine swan, being capable of separating the transient from the permanent and then what is real and what is unreal, when it is able to differentiate between or discriminate between both, it is our turn to imbibe that particular quality and try to reach the divine.
Yes.
And try to realize that yad drushyam tad nashyam. Whatever is whatever we are able to see is temporary.
Temporary, yeah.
And the unseen divinity which is there in us is the true eternal one.
Yes.
So highlighting that principle,
mm-hmm.
maybe we are getting a step closer to that. Shri Suktam is the mantra which we are going to take up.
So probably we'll try to unravel what is the true wealth which we all are after, what we all are seeking. What is that Shri Suktam talks about? What is that wealth which we all should aspire for after the blossoming of the intellect, with that intellect which is already wise, which is already all-knowing, or which is, means it has got that purification. With that, what should we actually seek? What is that wealth which we have to seek? Is, I think, what we are going to, in this endeavor, we will try to find out. So, before getting into this, Shri Suktam. So, you know, first thing which comes to our mind, she is Dabbu, money.
Wealth.
Swami says, money.
So,
it's a very sweet story, I think. Ganesh, correct? I think you are indicating to the story.
Yes, exactly.
The story in Vidyavahini, Swami has written really beautifully. So, I think it is apt if you actually read it out, in actually what Swami has written. You know, translation doesn't do so much of justice to what Swami writes in Telugu, but still, to get the essence of it and to get the charm of what Swami writes, let us just go through the story. This is a very interesting story which Swami says is a conversation between Lord Narayana and Mother Lakshmi. And what happens is, this is a story, it just goes like this. In the vocabulary of education today, riches, dhana, is dharma, merit. The pursuit of riches is the right path. Every activity, karma, has the acquisition of riches as the goal. Possessing wealth, dhanam, confers the highest status. There is no ideal more desirable than getting rich. Here is a short story as illustration. You know, Swami says, oka chinna katha. And then, you know, the
typical Swami's way.
So, here it says, Narayana, God, has 16 manifest aspects, yet He is the latent, immanent reality. So too, the material Narayana, the rupee, also has 16 pennies, anas, as parts. When men worship the rupee as the visible god, Narayana becomes unreachable to them. Few try to estimate the vastness of the loss they sustain therefrom. So Swami is trying to tell what is, why people are not seeing the 16 aspects of the god, but the 16 anas of the rupee and how they fall for it. So very, very interesting story. So one day, in the midst of conversation, Lakshmi, the divine consort and the goddess of wealth, teased Narayana, Lord, the entire world adores me. Not even one in 100. Why? Not even one in 1,000,000 worships you. She put forward a plan to test people's sincerity. She said, Lord, let's discover the facts for ourselves. Come, we will go forth into the world and find out. So let's see what happens. Narayana agreed. He changed into a great pandit, wearing gold bracelets on his wrists. As evidence of the appreciation and admiration of famous academic bodies, he had a garland of beads from the Rudraksha bush around his neck and thick streaks of holy ash on his forehead. He manifested on earth as a redoubtable scholar. He moved from village to village and began enchanting the people through his enrapturing discourses. His splendid personality and deep scholarship attracted the people. Thousands gathered to hear him and followed him from place to place. Brahmins invited him to their settlements and honored him. His arrival was celebrated as festival with rich feasting. While Narayana was being feted thus, Lakshmi appeared on earth as a great female ascetic. She too proceeded from village to village, enlightening the people on the Atma through her discourses. Women assembled to hear her fascinating speeches in wave after wave in massive numbers. They prayed for her to honor their homes with a visit and partake of the feast they were most eager to offer. In reply, she informed them that she was bound by some vows that made it difficult for her to accept their request. She would not eat out of plates already in use in their homes. She said that she must be allowed to bring her own cups and plates. The women yearned so deeply to host her that they accepted the condition. Whatever her vow, they were ready to respect it. Invitations came from every woman from everywhere. The female yogi reached the house where she was to take food the first day and took from her bag a gold plate, a few gold cups, and a gold tumbler for drinking water. Wow. She spread them before herself for the various items of the meal. When the meal was over, this is the most interesting part, she left, leaving the precious golden articles for the host. She had a new set for each day, she said. The news spread. The villages where Narayana was holding his delightful discourses also heard the wonderful happenings of the female ascetic's gifts. The Brahmins, who were staunch admirers of the far-famed scholar, also rushed to invite the female yogi to their homes for lunch. She told them that they should drive the pandit out before she could enter their settlement. She would not set foot there as long as he continued to stay there. So bad. She was adamant. Their greed for gold was so strong that they forced the pandit, whom they had adored for so long and so pompously, to leave their village. Thereafter, the female yogi entered the Brahmin settlement, gave discourses, partook of feasts arranged in her honor, and presented the gold plates and cups to each of her hosts. Thus, she managed to get the pandit driven out of every place where he sought recognition and attention. Instead, she secured the worship of people everywhere. Unable to bear the universal insult, the pandit cast off the role and Narayana disappeared from the earth. The female ascetic came to know of this. She also gave up her role and resumed her real form. She joined Lord Narayana. While they were conversing, she told the Lord, "Now, tell me, what did you discover? Who between us is honored and worshipped more on earth?" Narayana smiled at her question. He replied, "Yes, what you said is true." "Yes," and Swami says, "yes, today education and the knowledge gained are being marketed. Money is all in all. Educated people desert their motherland like mendicants in search of money. Is this the sign of proper education?" So I think Medha Suktam, which talks about our Medhas, which talks about education, from there when we come to the Sri Suktam, I think this is a very important question which can be like a theme for us. That
it's like a beautiful transition from the knowledge or the wealth that we possess to understand what exactly is the real wealth.
Real wealth. What actually we should aspire for.
Aspire for.
So I think Swami has set the ball rolling, ball rolling for us.
And what a captivating story that Swami has.
You know, such a sweet conversation between Narayana and Lakshmi, and then how Narayana accepts and how the way Swami describes, so sweet and so beautiful. So then probably with this introduction by Swami himself, this is from Vidyavahini. So if we get into the mantra, before that, if we just try to understand in the light of what Swami has told, in Sri Suktam, what is actually Sri? That's one thing. And before that, I think, Ganesh, we have not touched upon the actual meaning of Suktam. I think because Suktam also has got a lot of interesting aspects to it.
Yes, till now we have covered Narayana Suktam, then Medha Suktam, then now we are jumping into Sri Suktam. So, the later part of the each of the mantras, the Suktam is what we want to try to elaborate on a little bit.
Ganesh, yeah, because, you know, whenever we get something very interesting, I think it's important to share. So, when you talk about Suktam, anyway, as you told, rightly pointed out, we had finished Narayana Suktam, we have finished Durga Suktam, we have finished Medha Suktam. Now we are coming to Sri Suktam. So, good that by Swami's grace, we were able to touch upon the meaning of what is Suktam. So, first meaning is, it's a Vedic hymn, you know, like a Vedic hymn, from the word Sukta. Second is the song of praise. You know, you in a suktam, like in this case, you praise Mother Goddess, Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth. And third is, a suktam means something which is properly recited or properly chanted. So in this case, when we chant any of these mantras, it becomes a suktam only when we chant it properly with the proper intonations. Akshara Shuddhi, Matra Shuddhi, and Swara Shuddhi. And one more meaning is a wise saying, means a saying which has got, which is so much pregnant with meaning, so much pregnant with lot of inner knowledge, which is lot of inner wisdom is hidden in it. You have to unravel it. That's one thing. And you know, the fifth meaning, very, very interesting meaning is, well said, is one meaning of sukta. Yeah. Means, you know, we say bhala bhala, we say in Telugu. Whenever, you know.
Basically, it's a wow factor.
Wow, yeah, the wow thing. The awe, the wow is suktam. So, whenever you listen to a suktam, you should always say, wow, what a meaning. Like, the majesty of chanting it is so beautiful. So, this is the five different meanings we found for the only word suktam. Probably there is many more, many we don't more. Know. We don't know. So, this is the first thing. Second thing, if we had already touched upon what is Shri and, sorry, what is Narayana, what Lakshmi story and what is actually the real wealth which we should seek. Swami has given that question to us. You know, anything or everything, any mantra when we touch upon, when we don't get Swami into it, you know, we don't get that flavor, the charm is missing.
It's like incomplete.
Incomplete. The dessert is Swami. The icing on the cake
icing
is,
on the cake is Swami.
So, before starting, Sri Suktam also, any sweet experience of Swami as Lakshmi or something like that if you can share so that we can...
This is a very nice experience. I think again we go back to Kasturi Garu.
Yeah.
So once Swami had asked Kasturi Garu to go to the city and get some groceries for the canteen. And then he along with accompanied by one more person had gone to the city and to the market. And they ordered for all the groceries that had to be brought. So the vendor who was giving them all these goods happened to be a Swami's devotee.
Okay.
So they had bought the groceries worth about 10,000 rupees. So this person requested Kasturi Garu that he can give the money later.
Yeah.
And then Kasturi Garu obliged and he would inform this to Swami directly. And then they got the groceries and Swami asked them that how much was the payment to be done. And then Kasturi Garu informed Swami that Swami, 10,000 rupees is the actual amount that had to be paid. And then Swami gave that amount to Kasturi Garu so that had to be paid immediately. And then Kasturi Garu took the amount and then it's very very astonishing that he forgot to pay. Rather than saying forgot, he had one more payment to be made on one more errand.
Means more urgent.
More urgent. And then he thought, anyway, that person is a devotee, we could give the payment in the next installment. And then he paid for this particular errand. So, this vendor whoever gave the groceries to Swami, he had come for darshan during the next month. And then Swami spotted him in the darshan and he asked him, did you get the money? And then the devotee was a very humble person. He told Swami, that's okay. So he didn't either tell the truth nor he didn't tell a lie. He told Swami, that's okay. Swami again insisted on him answering his question. Did you get the money? Again this person answered the same. Swami, that's okay, Swami. And then Swami understood what was going on. And then immediately he called for Kasturi Garu. And then he asked, did you not give that money which I gave you to the vendor? Then Kasturi Garu was he was shocked because he had forgotten about that money.
Oh my God.
And then he asked for Swami's forgiveness and Swami was very upset with that. And he told, see, our name should not get tampered and it should not get spoiled. We should never get a bad name. You should give people who are in who owe money. We should clear those debts as soon as possible. This should never happen. And then Kasturi Garu asked for forgiveness, and he told exactly what had happened with that money that he had to pay for another errand.
Someone.
And then Swami was okay with that. And then they were wondering how do we exactly get the 10,000 rupees to be paid for this person. And then out of nowhere, Swami asked him, why are you worrying? And then Swami just hit his chest on the left side with his palm. And then out came 10,000 rupees.
Wow.
And then Swami gave it to Kasturi Garu and told, when Lakshmi Nadha is here. Why are you worried about Lakshmi?
So beautiful.
And then he paid that amount to the person, and the devotee was also happy. And this was a revelation that
Swami wanted to show. So nice means this is the way, like a very nice way of starting Sri Suktam. Now I think we can relate how Mother Lakshmi and Swami are so close. Like so, well, not close. They're one of the same. There is no difference between the two. So now with this, probably with this introduction, if we get into what is Sri Suktam, what is Sri?
Actually, there is a beautiful explanation for this. The word Sri has its origin from the dhatu or the verbal root Shri.
Mm-hmm.
So this means to take refuge or to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So by adding aying upasarga, which is a proposition prefixed to the roots to this dhatu of Shri, we obtain the word Shri.
Okay.
So that is the elaboration of the root word of Shri, or the how the Shri word
has come.
And Shri is Shriyate Sarvaihi Iti Shrihi, which means Shri is that cosmic energy who is the refuge of all creatures. She exists as life and intellect, the greatest of all wealths in every being.
Yo, so such a revelation.
So in Markandeya Purana it is there that Yadevi Sarvabhuteshu Lakshmi Rupena Samsthita. Namastase 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 Namo Namaha.
So beautiful. So this is one thing, and then if we probably go to the next word which comes so frequently in Sri Suktam, and we also refer to, is the word Lakshmi. So Lakshmi is again, there are so many meanings. One or two meanings which we were able to find, three meanings which we were able to find was Kshmi comes from the word, the root Kshipa. One meaning of Kshipa is to throw. Second meaning of Kshipa is to inspire. So Lakshmi is the one who inspires you for the highest goal, for a higher life, is Lakshmi. That's one thing. And you know, second thing is, Lakshmi is like a symbol, a sign of prosperity, a sign of wealth, sign of contentment, sign of peace. Because I think contentment and peace come actually more, I don't know, should have told that before. And you know, if you say Lakshmi otherwise also, the peace and contentment is what is this place, Prashanti, not even Shanti, Prashanti. So as you told that Swami himself is the Lakshminatha, so this place is his abode. So where Lakshmi is, Lakshminatha is there, you will definitely have Prashanti. So that is why Swami has named as Prashanti Nalayam. And the third aspect is, Lakshmi comes from the word Lakshya. Lakshya means a goal. Somewhere where which you aspire for. So this can be actually any goal, but you know, Vedic mantras are always with so much of meaning, pregnant with so much of meaning, that the Lakshmi in this case probably is the highest goal which all of us aspire for. You know, the way you told about Shri, Shraya, that way also, Lakshmi is that Lakshya, that goal which is the ultimate goal of the whole creation, all the beings, the ultimate goal is that. So that is one more thing which comes to our mind when we say this.
Bhargav, there is one more meaning for the word wealth or Shri, that is the Sanskrit meaning called Aishwaryam. And very frequently we see that Swami giving us Vibhuti. Vibhuti is also related to Aishwarya.
Yeah.
So, what exactly is the knowledge or the wealth that we need to understand, or the goal which we need to reach, is that ultimate principle of oneness with God.
Yes.
So, we are no different from God. Maybe that is the real wealth that we can acquire in this earthly session of ours. It's said that the person with the least number of desires is the most richest man.
Yeah.
So the contentment aspect which you were talking about, at every step, I think we should keep reminding ourselves that it is not only the physical and worldly wealth that we will be talking about or touching in this Sri Sukta
mantra, yeah.
But also along with that parallelly will be going as in the previous episode when we talked about the two wings of a person's life. One is the worldly aspect and other is the spiritual aspect. One cannot survive without the other.
Yeah.
Both should go hand in hand.
Yes.
So a person's life should be a balance of both of them.
Both, yes.
And then I think we cannot totally rule out the worldly aspect.
Yes.
And we cannot totally rule out the spiritual aspect. Both should go hand in hand. So the Sri Suktam will give a magnified picture about how to balance these two.
Both these aspects. Okay, one more question, Ganesh, because when you're talking about Sri Suktam, one more thing which comes to my mind is, you know, I say Sri Ganesh, I say Sri Bhargava, and you call Sri Rama, Sri Krishna. But someone like Shiva, you say, don't say Sri Shiva. You don't say Sri Brahma. Like, what is that which makes that distinction? Anything on that?
Actually, Sri is a word specifically used in the Bharatiya culture to represent somebody who is adorned with so many good qualities. So, if we are being called as Sri Ganesh or Sri so-and-so, that person should be well aware that he should know what name is being attached to him. So, he should be fully aware that he should be good, he should be virtuous, and he should be in the dharmic way in order to acquire that particular title.
To actually validate
that
Shri. Name, the Shri which is attached to you.
So, to answer your question of why Sri Rama and Sri Krishna, but not why Sri Shiva. Shiva is nothing but a principle. It is the ultimate auspiciousness. Means you cannot attach something which is already auspicious.
Shankara means, correct, you don't say Sri Shankara, you say Shankara. Shankara, Swami says, one who does good is Shankara. So that is which is all the principle which is fully complete in itself, which is all virtues, which is all goodness, all auspiciousness. But again, the question comes, why not Rama and Krishna? Are they not?
Because they have taken upon themselves the human form.
Okay.
So, that is what we look up to them as Sri Rama and Sri Krishna.
Means, to remind us that
they embodied the word Sri.
Because that Rama and that Krishna principle, which has incarnated, which has taken birth here, or Bhagavan Sri Satsai Baba, is, they are totally complete in everything. They are, you know, the storehouse, the mine of virtues, the mine of everything, whatever is goodness you see. So I think probably that is what is indicates to us when we put that word Shri. And yeah, it's such an important point that we should also, when we say Shri with our names, we should actually get a deservedness to actually use that word Shri with our names. So beautiful.
So I think with these aspects, we can set the ball rolling for the Sri Suktam. So now going into the Sri Suktam as such, before we end today's episode, we shall just read out the first two lines of the Sri Suktam, where we invoke Mother Lakshmi, and then we start delving deep into the essence of whatever that invocation is.
Yeah.
Om Hiranyavarnam Harinim Suvarnarajatasrajam Chandram Hiranmayim Lakshmim Jatavedo Maavaha.
So, Hiranyavarnam is of glowing, shining countenance. Hiranya is nothing but golden.
Gold.
And Varnam is color. Harinim is green. Green is a sign of all prosperity.
Yeah.
Suvarna is excellent color, which also refers to as gold. Rajata is silver. Srajam is lustered. Chandram of moon, which cools the entire being. Hiranmayim, golden shining, although shining like the sun, she is not hot, but cooling like the moon. So, instead of her even though she has that brilliance, that luster, she, instead of heating, she passes on that coolness to the coolness to everyone around her.
Yeah.
And then Lakshmi, the feminine form of Lakshma, which means a trace or a copy of God.
Yeah.
And then Jata Veda, again our friend is coming back here. Jata Veda, born knowing, one who is born with all divine knowledge, refers to Agni or fire used in Vedic yajnas. This Agni fire is the visible Lakshma or trace of God. May, for me, Avaha, we call or beckon. So, of glowing countenance, shining lush green, radiant with rays of shining gold and silver, of soothingly gold shine, Jata Veda, the knowledgeable one, O Lakshmi, God's representative sign, for me, I beckon thee.
Yeah. So probably with this, if we can end today's episode, and then we'll probably start going a little more deeper into every aspect of this, and we pray that Swami gives us an inspiration to get into that, because, you know, without His grace, we cannot get into something like Vedic mantra, so difficult to understand. Mm. They're so abstruse otherwise.
So with these few words, we shall end today's class. And we again request the listeners to please do write their feedback or share their thoughts to listener@radiosai.org or WhatsApp it to 9393258258. So we shall end today's class with the Ganapati Prarthana Mantra and with a humble prayer to Swami that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration, the actual Shri or the Lakshmi. We end today's class with the Kshama Prarthana Mantra.
यदक्षर पद भ्रष्टं मात्राहीनं तु यद् भवेत् तत्सर्वं क्षम्यतां देवा नारायण नमोस्तुते विसर्गबिंदु मात्राणि पदपादाक्षराणि च न्यूनानि चातिरिक्तानि क्षमस्व साईश्वरा अपराध सहस्राणि क्रियन्ते हर्निशन्मया दासोऽयम् इति मां मत्वा क्षमस्व साईश्वरा अन्यथा शरणं नास्ति त्वमेव शरणं मम तस्मात् कारुण्यभावेन रक्ष रक्ष साईश्वरा हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्री साईश्वरा अर्पणमस्तु.
From a few moments from now, you will be listening to the live Telugu segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Chari. Stay tuned to Asia Stream, Sai Ram, and happy listening.
Hiranyavarnam Harinim Suvarna Rajatas Rajam Chandram Hiranmayim Lakshmim Jata Vedo Maavaha Tamavah Jata Vedo Lakshmim Manapagaminim Yasyam Hiranyam Vindeyam Gamashvam Purushanaham Ashvapurvan Rathamadhyam Hastinada Prabodhinim Shriyam Devi Mupahvaye Shrirma Devi Jushatam Kam Sosmitam Hiranyam Prakaram Adram Jadantim Triptam Tarpayantim Padme Sitam Padmavarnam Tamiho Pahvaye Shriyam Chandram Prabhasaya Shasajvalantim Shriyam Loke Deva Jushtamudaram Tam Padmini Mim Sharanamaham Prapadye Alakshmir Menashyatam Tvam Vrune Aditya Varne Tapasodhi Jato Vanaspatistava Vrukshotha Bilvaha Tasya Phalani Tapasanudantu Mayantarayascha Vakya Alakshmihi Upaitu Mam Devasakaha Kirtischa Manina Saha Pradur Bhutos Mirashtresmin Kirti Vriddim Dadatume Kshutpipasa Malam Jeshtama Lakshmir Nasha Yamyaham Abhutimasam Riddhim Tasarva Nirnudame Gruhat गन्धद्वारां दुरादर्शां नित्यपुष्टां करीषिणीम् ईश्वरीकुम् सर्वभूतानां नामिहोपह्वये श्रियम् मनसः काममाकूतिम् वाचः सत्यमशीमहि पशूनाम् रूपमन्नस्य मयि श्रीश्रयतां यशः कर्दमेन प्रजा भूता मयि सम्भव कर्दमा श्रियम् वासय मे कुले मातरम् पद्ममालिनी आपसृजन्तु स्निग्धानि चिक्रीतवस मे गृहे विच देवी मातरम् श्रियम् वासय मे कुले आद्राम् पुष्करिणीम् पुष्टिम् पिङ्गलाम् पद्ममालिनीम् चन्द्राम् हिरण्मयीम् लक्ष्मीम् जातवेदो महावः आद्राम् यःकरिणीम् यष्टिम् सुवर्णाम् हेममालिनीम् सूर्याम् हिरण्मयीम् लक्ष्मीम् जातवेदो महावः आवह जातवेदो लक्ष्मीम् मनपगामिनी यस्याम् हिरण्यम् प्रभूतम् गावो दास्योऽश्वान् विन्देयम् पुरुषानहम् यशुचि प्रयतो भूत्वा जुहुयाराज्यमल्वहम् श्रियः पञ्चदशर्चम् च श्रीकामः सततम् जपेत् पद्मानने पद्महूरो पद्माक्षे पद्मसम्भवे त्वम् माम् भजस्व पद्माक्षी येन सौख्यम् लभाम्यहम् अश्वदायी गोदायी धनदायी महाधने धनम् मेजुषताम् देवि सर्वकामाश्च देहि मे पुत्रपौत्रधनम् धान्यम् हस्तश्वादिगवेरथम् प्रजानाम् भवसि माता आयुष्मन्तम् करोतु माम् धनमग्निर्धनम् वायुर्धनम् सूर्यो धनम् वसुः धनमिन्द्रो बृहस्पतिर्वरुणम् धनमश्नुते वैनते यसोमम् पिब सोमम् पिबतु वृत्रः सोमम् धनस्य सोमिनो मह्यम् दधातु सोमिनः न क्रोधो न च मात्सर्यम् न लोभो नाशुभामतिः भवन्ति कृतपुण्यानाम् भक्तानाम् श्रीसूक्तम् जपेत् सदा वर्षन्तु देवि भावरी दिवो अभ्रस्य विद्युतः रोहन्तु सर्वबीजान्यवब्रह्मद्विषोजहि पद्मप्रिये पद्मिनि पद्महस्ते पद्मालये पद्मजडायताक्षी विश्वप्रिये विष्णुमनोनुकूले त्वत्पादपद्मम् मयि सन्निधत्स्व व्यासा पद्मासनस्ता विपुलकटितटी पद्मपत्रायताक्षी गम्भीरावर्तनाभिस्तनभरणमिता शुभ्रवस्त्रोत्तरीया लक्ष्मीर्दिव्यैर्गजेन्द्रैर्मणिगणखचितैः स्नापिता हेमकुम्भैः नित्यम् सा पद्महस्ता मम वसतु गृहे सर्वमाङ्गल्ययुक्ता लक्ष्मीम् क्षीरसमुद्रराजतनयाम् श्रीरङ्गधामेश्वरीम् दासीभूतसमस्तदेववनिताम् लोकैकदीपाङ्कुराम् श्रीमन्मन्दकटाक्षलब्धविभव ब्रह्मेन्द्रगङ्गाधराम् ताम् त्रैलोक्यकुटुम्बिनीम् सरसिजाम् वन्दे मुकुन्दप्रियाम् सिद्धलक्ष्मीर्मोक्षलक्ष्मी जयलक्ष्मीः सरस्वती श्रीलक्ष्मीर्वरलक्ष्मी च प्रसन्ना मम सर्वदा पराङ्कुशौपाशमवीदिमुद्राम् करैर्वहन्तीम् कमलासनस्ताम् बालार्ककोटिप्रतिभाम् त्रिनेत्राम् भजेहमाम्बाम् जगदीश्वरीम् त्वाम् सर्वमङ्गलमाङ्गल्ये शिवे सर्वार्धसाधिके शरण्ये त्र्यम्बके देवी नारायणि नमोऽस्तुते महालक्ष्मी च विद्महे विष्णुपत्नी च धीमहि तन्नो लक्ष्मीः प्रचोदयात्।